is on your mind this wonderful day?
Tired of talking to people about the election. We're ready for this just to be over with.
Isn't that the truth?
We just have to get through the last debate Thursday, and then what happens, happens.
Right.
Oh.
Nick Sherry's not waiting on us. I don't see him in the
waiting. You know what? Rob, Rob said that he maybe had sent a text. He had to get it canceled. He is having his neck operated on.
Okay.
In the next week, and he said he is delayed at the doctor. They're finishing blood. He should be done in 5, so he may be able to jump on here in just a bit.
So he wants to keep going then. Good. Okay.
Yes, some text finishing blood draw. Give me 5, he says. Yeah, so I think he should be on 5. Which we're having a bunch of medical stuff going on. I'm actually having an endoscopy and colonoscopy and this afternoon. So this will be my last appointment of the day. Yeah. You taking any more of a look at your Mantech position?
Just a little. I mean, I like it. It sold off a point or so, but it looks interesting. What did you find?
You know, I was taking my son to a hockey game the other day and driving past their offices out there on 66. I mean, I certainly like the space. I think that in this continued world that we're most likely going to be in, the foreseeable future, that area is going to have to, be a heavier reliance on everything that we do. And when you look at, valuations, particularly around some of these, tech, types of industries and companies, it seems moderately priced, relative to the, fundamentals that you see in some of these other names. So, that to me was intriguing. I've put it, together with my Fortinet Palo Alto list that I watch on a daily basis. So we haven't gone in, but I'm looking at it daily.
Yeah, I've owned Palo Alto. it looked like this is going to be a piece of cake, right? We're going to make a lot of money on this. And I bought all the stocks, and that was probably, God knows, my daughter's been, I bet that was 5 years ago, right? And they were, and it was really frustrating. And they, like Palo Alto, I'm not sure they're still earning any money, right?
No.
Right, they're not. It's not an area that's at all mature in terms of companies, being utilities or anything. You'd think by this time they'd be utilities. But no, they're still acting like, Silicon Valley startups.
That's right. And I think that was one of the intriguing things about Netflix report last night, was that everyone's been waiting for them to potentially turn the corner. And now with them sitting on about $8 billion in cash, and they may be free cash flow generators here over the course of the next couple of years, which makes the pullback here intriguing to a company like that. Thinking about more and more people cutting the cord and that level of way that we get our entertainment. So it's curious. Somebody sent me an article today, a client, saying that if you added up all of the tangible assets of the S&P 500 and, basically sold it, you would only get about 20% of the market cap value of the S&P 500, that everything right now is intellectual property, algorithm, and brand, which, is clearly, somewhat concerning and alarming when you think of it, from, how we were all kind of trained to think about, how to value a company. This is a brave new world that we're in and continuing to expand in every single day.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Peloton is a perfect example of not having a clue what the future is going to bring. I mean,
right.
I couldn't see that. It was one of my short ideas at the beginning. I put a short idea of shorts for the year that I wanted to, if they got to the right price, I'd short them. Well, thank God I didn't short Peloton because I missed that completely. Not just because of COVID. I missed the whole idea of what they were doing and that they're really a technology company.
They are. I ride mine almost every day. I love it. It's a really neat product.
Yeah, you need to own it in order to get it. So can you get a tour or meet the director of corporate relations at Mantech?
That is a good suggestion. That would be intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I did was the very beginning of my career in Boston was I called up Teradyne and I asked for a tour, and the head of corporate relationships, Fred Van Veen, gave me a tour because I had no clue what they were doing and I was curious. They were right across the street. And as soon as I got back to the office, he called me and opened up an account and did business with me from then on.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Isn't that a good story?
That is. Yeah, that's I'm wondering if in today's day and age with security, if they'd let you do that.
Well, it would be worth a conversation, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that, because you're there, I go by your building every
right.
day. I'm looking at it, for our portfolios. I'd love to come out and get a tour. In the age of COVID, can we do that? Or do you want to do a virtual tour?
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. So,
if you get that done, maybe you can say to him, I'd love for you to do a virtual tour for my clients.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a neat thing. Give me one of the, yeah.
Tune me into that one.
I will. Yeah. One of the things Rob's putting together, we were supposed to be this weekend going out to our largest client's annual convention. Every other year, because we split the money between us and UBS, we go out to Vegas, Nashville, San Antonio, wherever their meetings are. And obviously, they had to cancel this year. So we're not having our presentation at 7:30 a.m. on a Saturday this year. But one of the things that Rob is setting up is we're going to do a virtual dinner with the finance committee at some point in November. So we're going to have a vineyard out in California and a chef, send a prepared meal and do a virtual presentation that way to the board. So
nice.
We were, I think, we're going to have a speaker on there that's going to, speak and talk about this continued marriage between technology and healthcare to a bunch of gastroenterology doctors. And, how we've incorporated that into their portfolio and, potentially seeing that there's any way that, there could be business done there too.
Brilliant.
Because I'm sure they're seeing a lot of changes in their practice with all of this.
Right. Well, Teladoc and all that. And they've got their own. You
yep.
should find out ahead of time what they're using.
Yep. That's right. Any other creative things you're hearing that other folks are doing in this environment, Rob, in terms of creative in ways that communicate?
One of the things that I've been thinking about is, we have the 24-month calendar of ideas that we use in our 12-4-2s with our clients. So keeping that in mind, I thought, well, while you're preparing to help the clients to understand the value of of the topic for the month. We're preparing for it, educating ourselves. We would like to add that on to our webinars for the month, right? So if you're going, just think about it, right? You're going to talk to all your clients this month about liability management. Well, why don't you do a webinar on liability management for your clients and their friends? And why don't you get, and you can have a guest speaker. You know, they can meet
the
mortgage guy. They could meet, you know, the guy that is in charge of securitized loans. I don't know. You want it to be a good speaker, so you don't want to waste your time.
Right.
The idea is that let's make it something that we're going to talk about, and then you kind of prepare them ahead of time, and then you talk about it. So you give them a bunch of good ideas on how to use securitized loans to create synthetic mortgages for your for their kids and things like that. Put that addition on the house. Do whatever you want to do. But the idea is that you are prepping them, and then they invite their friends or their kids, and they listen in, and then you do it. And then you call them on their 1242, and now they're ready for it. So instead of just preparing you, you know, like we do with our training sessions for the for the next month, we actually prepare the client ahead of time.
Right.
So instead of just saying, okay, we're going to talk about the outlook for the economy for the new year, we're going to actually have a speaker that month, and we're going to do a webinar, and you're actually going to hear them. And then when we talk to you about it, you're going to be informed as to what we think, and then we'll be able to adjust portfolios and make changes without having to start from zero.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really
good idea.
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
You're one of the first ones hearing that idea, by the way.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I asked the question. Yeah, I just don't, we don't know when we're going to get back. I mean, who knows when any semblance of
normalcy comes back. I wouldn't prepare whenever getting back. I would think in terms of this is the way it's going to be forever. And when we get back, we don't want to lose the leverage that we've built into our system.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just think about it. You can get anybody on the phone. I just did a webinar with a client that I worked with 5 years ago who's in Rio de Janeiro. And he's hiring me to do a series of webinars for them. He's at a new company, just moved to a new company. He's in charge of training there. So we're going to do a series of 3 or 5 or 10 webinars for them and train them in Brazil. Okay. And they need to have.
Incredible.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? And the webinar I did with him was just as if he was right here.
It's incredible that we could do that now.
Yeah. It costs nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, I've got, I got the pro version of webinar or whatever it is. Zoom, but who cares? It's still almost free.
Right.
So I think of, you know, creating a series of webinars that would be very helpful in terms of marketing, but gee, you could do them right from the list of things that you want to go over with the clients and put them on it. So here's part two. So you got your 24-month calendar of ideas to talk to your clients about. Then you also have a 24-month calendar of ideas that you want to talk to your prospects about and marketing ideas, right? And instead of having seminars, which are a pain and you don't even want to do them now, do something in conjunction with a center of influence. So you have a CPA on there and you both put in your email addresses. So you now have a big composite email and you send it out and talk about what preparation should we make for possible tax changes with the change of administration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yep.
now you're bringing value to the CPA and you're bringing value to your clients. And it's a marketing idea. Now, you make an agreement. I'm not going to call your clients. You don't call my clients until we're referred in, right? But we can email to them if we have another webinar. So that's the deal.
Yep.
So now you do it with your estate planning attorney. Same thing. What do we do estate planning wise? Or now we do it with your commercial realtor. You know, what's happening with commercial real estate? What should we be doing? What should we be thinking about? Et cetera. Then you do it with a residential realtor. Tell me about the residential market. What's going on? Now you've got a composite of five different centers of influence, all their email addresses. And they've never heard of you. And now they have. They've seen you on a webinar. Now, what you do is you ask each other questions. That's what I've been doing with these webinars that I've been doing. And they work beautifully. So what are my topics? I used the topic of the first one. What was the first one I did? I did with Bill Cates on getting referrals. So I used his, we had 350 people on a webinar. So we used his email wow. address and my email address, right? And I got four clients out of that.
Wow.
So was that worth it? I guess. The second one was with, Bruce Johnston, who's an expert on use of LinkedIn and social media. And we didn't have as many. We had like 65, but it was because my email address was, you know, was big, but his wasn't. But it was still great. People loved the call. So, you know, now I'm going to interview Jim Lehrer on his new book, right? So he's got a massive email, list that never heard of me. So I'll interview him. So I interview these guys. And then they, you know, they talk about me to their clients and might ask me a few questions. And I spend most of the time talking to them about the things I need to get across to my audience. But I picked up clients that weren't even on my email address ever. They were on, you know, Bill Cates' email address. And we're not in conflict. You know, I teach what he teaches. But I refer him when somebody really wants to get into the weeds on getting referrals.
Right.
Or they need to hire somebody to manage their, you know, their website and the rest of it, you know, their LinkedIn site, and they want to really market themselves. You know, I refer him to Bruce Johnston. So those are just two good ideas that, you know, turned into webinars. But you could do the same thing. You know, you get your chief economist on there. You get, you know, it's much more personal than, and they can say things on there that they wouldn't say to TV audience, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's, you know, one of the huge successes we've had this year in our portfolios is a long short hedge fund that's up 45% this year.
Wow.
And they are, and have been positioning their allocation for the last several years around broadband, 5G, cybersecurity, kind of all the things we were even chatting about earlier, Rob. And, you know, I think that's clearly at the cornerstone of investors' minds today. And to say, look, here's a manager that when the market went down 35% was only down 6 in that February to March 23rd sell-off and is up, you know, 40%+. Wouldn't it be a really good idea to hear their thoughts on how they are positioning their assets for 2021 why don't you invite some friends to get on there so you can hear what, you know, our interview goes like. That could be powerful.
Oh, I think that's genius. Because I hate hedge funds because of what they charge. But you know what? They're up 45%. I'd probably listen.
And Rob, I don't know if you know, so there's a new, well, not new, but their fund is structured like an interval fund. Are you familiar with these? So it's under the same 40 Act. So it actually trades like a mutual fund. So you can get daily pricing on it. You can only get in once a month and out every quarter, but it has, you know, a hedge fund. It's this hybrid between a mutual fund and a hedge fund structure. So clients have an easy window to see exactly how they're doing on a daily basis and the liquidity that doesn't, you know, traditionally come there with a hedge fund.
Right.
And it's able to, you know, use the same type of strategy. So that's another selling point that we can use, you know, for the position of a marketing way to say, here's a way for you to access some of the smartest minds on the street in a format that's going to be more conducive for your lifestyle and for cash needs.
Do they still take 20% of the profit?
Above a high water, they do. Yep.
Yeah.
And those are all net returns. And they were up 35 last year in 2019.
So you get those kinds of returns, you don't mind giving them some money.
What do you care, right?
I don't care, right. What do I get in that, right?
And to hear, you know, that thinking of new types of technologies that are coming out there that are now going to be in this new COVID world, you know, what else is out there that's not just the Amazon, the Apples, and the Microsofts of the world, because we can't just sit back and think that those are how we're going to get all of our returns going forward. So that could be really cool. I haven't thought about doing a webinar like that, but an interview process where Rob and I are, you know, already doing these on our own internally, why not video it and show that to our clients?
Right, and do the interview. I think the interview is a really interesting format rather than just having them get on and talk.
Right.
So you
And would you have, would you open questions up to clients that they can give to us
do.
In advance?
Here's what we do. I ask my candidate to send me 6 questions that they want to have me ask them.
Okay.
And then I'll send them a couple about what I want them to ask me.
Ah, good. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. So then we get highlighted, but we're not sitting here bragging about how great we are.
Perfect.
That's the key. So we get to answer. You've got to answer the question, right?
Right. Exactly.
And then we open it up to questions, and the questions come out here on the side, and we answer the ones we feel like answering.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right. So then you're not open to some embarrassing ESG question or something, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right. So you can pick and choose and then make yourself look good and they, you know, so, which makes sense, right?
Yeah. No, that's great.
So you're
good.
Really
well, that's
open.
Something we'll have to put in.
Yeah. You're only restricted by your imagination in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are kind of overwhelmed by Zoom, but you know what? You just have to keep, you gotta, you know, it's like anything. You just market the heck out of it. We would send it out 2 weeks in advance and then 1 week in advance and then every day before the webinar, we'd send our email reminder. And so, you know.
That's great.
But 360 people, that's pretty amazing.
That's impressive. And to get 4 clients out of something that you were doing from the comfort of your own office.
Right. And I introduced Phil to 2 people with Zoom introductions, which is a really smart idea. So rather than just introducing him with an email introduction or even a phone introduction, I did a Zoom introduction. We did it by appointment, I introduced him, and he closed both of them. So that was Bill Cates, okay?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I gave him, and by the way, he sent me as a thank you. He knew he heard me talk about coaching I've been coaching my granddaughter, who's six, on golf, and knows that I went to Wake Forest. I'm a big supporter of the golf team at Wake Forest. So he sent me golf gear for a 6 year old with Wake Forest logos all over it. So he sent me, you know, a hat. He sent me a ball marker, sent me Wake Forest balls, sent me, what else? It was something cute. Had a towel, Wake Forest towel. So, but the hat was a kid's size hat, so it was great, you know. So anyway, I was very impressed.
That's great. Good.
Okay.
Well, Robin, yeah, it looks like Rob, he just sent me a text. He's still in the doctor's office, so he's actually having a couple of discs replaced next week.
Wow.
So he's going to be out a couple of days, but the pain that he's been in is hopefully going to be alleviated here after he gets out of that surgery next Tuesday.
No, that's, you know, we'll both say a good prayer for him. Those are
absolutely
nasty operations, and
yeah,
when they go well, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. And when they don't, it's like, how could I have even considered doing this?
Yeah.
They don't always, you know, I don't tell him, but it's just, you know, it's still kind of a new business.
Yeah. It's, he and his wife went through a pretty good due diligence process interviewing several doctors. So he didn't just go with the first one. So I think he feels confident what he's doing here. So, yeah, I will pass that along to him, and your best wishes. And we'll chat in a couple of weeks, get through this election, and we can all just get on with our lives.
Okay, so what do you want for homework?
I want to talk to Rob about this webinar piece and, you know, thinking about how we could, you know, construct something like that.
It's good. And the other homework I want to give you is Mantech. Okay.
Okay.
Go in.
Yep.
They got a guy or gal that does this, right? And say you'd like to have a tour. If you can't have a regular one, you'd like a virtual tour. Just really help me understand more what you guys do and how you do it. And if you think it's really a cool idea, I don't know what kind of compliance rules you'd have, but it'd be super to get a webinar done with the same thing for your clients. I don't know. I did it for my FAs. We had a training school in Chicago, and I taught 3 days of their training. I taught them equities. I taught them prospecting. And in the two days of prospecting and 1 day of how to buy equities and how to select equities. And I took them to see United Airlines, and I made them make up interesting questions. I took them to see waste management too. So here I am marching these young puppies in to waste management boardroom, and there's the CEO and the CFO and all these. And I asked them a good question. This is always a good question to ask. What do you know about the company that is public information but isn't recognized in the price of your stock?
Ah, that is a good question.
And they'd say, they don't understand this. Okay. Hmm. Case of United Airlines, it was, what does a $1 decrease in the price of jet fuel mean to you? And they had the number.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And we made a lot of money on United Airlines. And in
not everybody can say that.
Right. In case of waste management, it was, Do you remember these, the big, what did they call them? The waste, you know, the major waste dumps that they had all over the country. They had to clean those up. And said, people don't understand how much money we're going to make on cleaning up these contaminated waste dumps. And I said, well, what do you think the number is? And they told me, and we went back and bought the stock and made a lot of money. So it's a good question to ask. So you can ask that question of Mantech. What's public information
I like that.
Isn't recognized in the price of your stock. And if they don't have the answer to that, they're an idiot.
Right. And then you know not to buy it. Easy enough.
Right. I mean, when we were doing, when it was Merrill Lynch, people would, you know, they didn't ask me that question, but the answer was, you have no idea the leverage that we have in terms of fee-based services. And the rate that we were accumulating assets, it was obvious the stock was going up, but nobody believed it. So that's what I'm always looking for when I'm buying equities. And it's very hard to find the answers.
Well, sorry, you've got to, you dig deep enough and you'll find them and ask the right questions. So
yeah, it's a good question. So, all right. Sean.
All right, Rob. I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir. We'll pass along that to Rob, and yeah, we will, we'll chat in a few weeks.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye now.
Is that TV? What are you doing? Do you know how loud that is? It's okay. I'm just